Hello and welcome to the 26th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch, and I am the proprietor of poppapa.com, the website that hosts this podcast, as well as my daily photo diaries and a few other things here and there that I throw up when an idea hits me. I hope everybody had a nice holiday weekend. That extra day is always nice to kind of give you a little bit more room for a trip or just to relax or spend with family or friends. That is why this episode is going up a day late. Again, I apologize for that, but my parents were visiting on Saturday and Sunday, and then, you know, my wife had the day off Monday, and I didn't want to kick her and the baby out of the house to record the podcast. I didn't think anybody would appreciate that very much. Let's see. I think I'll start with the visit. My parents drove most of the way here from Ohio on Friday, but then they came over Saturday morning. It was really good timing because in addition to the holiday, it was the kickoff of the college football season. When I was a kid, kind of growing up, I didn't really have much interest in football, but I became a fan of like the idea of Notre Dame along that point. I mean, I knew that I was part Irish and that seemed like a cultural link that I don't really know if I still feel in that way anymore, but I've been such a fan of that university and the organization, and that eventually spread to the football, so I enjoy watching those games. As I mentioned last week, that actually works out pretty well because Notre Dame football games are nationally televised thanks to a deal they made with NBC, so no matter where I am, usually I can watch them play. But my dad and wife are actually Ohio State fans, and they played at noon on Saturday, so we watched that game, and then during it, we ran out and got some beer because Ohio State was pretty much kicking butt. We also got some pizza for kind of a lunch-dinner combo and then came back. And Ohio State wound up winning and Notre Dame wound up winning, which was great. We just kind of hung out the rest of that day. And then Sunday, we went out for breakfast at Fiddlesticks and we were going to go to like a flea market or do something else. But we wound up getting hit by a bunch of rain and we figured that the flea market might be kind of bad at that point. And, you know, the later you wait for a flea market, the less interesting it gets. So instead, we decided to drive my parents around and kind of show them some of the houses that we've been looking at online. Still haven't gotten into any of them. Hopefully this week, although we are going to Massachusetts to spend a few days with Em's parents at a house on the ocean. So maybe not by this week, but hopefully pretty soon. I mean, we definitely want to get in there and start seeing these places because it'll give us a better idea of, you know, what's going on, of course. And so we just came back here and wound up hanging out for most of the day. And then I made a dinner. And after that, we played that game Cranium, which is a lot of fun. I got introduced to it in college. And since then, we played it a bunch of times. It's like a fun mix of like Pictionary and Trivia and all these other games. And we don't really play a lot of board games because especially that one you need four people for. And if Lucy's awake, she can kind of get into the pieces, which actually happened. She went down, she fell asleep while we were all kind of out here, and then she woke up and came out and started just grabbing everything. So we actually used some of her little toys as our game pieces. There was enough around that we could switch out pretty easily. We actually were using a Kermit Muppet Babies toy from a long time ago that Em's parents had given Lucy on one of their last visits. And so instead of using the regular piece, we used that, which, of course, once Lucy woke up, she thought that was pretty great. So she grabbed that and was playing with it. But we had enough to kind of switch out. And it was just a nice visit. They wound up leaving Monday morning, and then Em and I and Lucy hung out here. The weather was kind of off and on. It got really hot. It was been doing this thing where it kind of cools off, and then it gets way hot. And I've said it a million times, I don't like the heat, but this weekend, it wasn't just heat, it was that humidity. Even when we went out to throw the football around a little bit on Saturday, I was getting attacked by bugs and I was sweating like crazy. And it wasn't from physical exertion, which, I mean, I'm incredibly out of shape, so that would be understandable. But it was just from it being so friggin' humid out. But we did wind up on Monday going to the playground in Cornwall so Luce could run around. It was surprisingly dead, and then we realized that it's probably because school started today, or maybe this week sometime. I was surprised there weren't even guys playing basketball, because there's almost always guys playing basketball. But as Em pointed out, they're probably like high school and college age kids, so they would have school soon too. And as usual, she got a kick out of the place and ran around a little bit with some other kids, although they were kind of keeping to themselves. But she's so like strong at climbing things. You'll see it in the photo diary, but there's a couple different things that she was just kind of climbing all by herself, and she's getting really confident, and she doesn't pay attention completely, so it's a little bit worrisome, but for the most part, I think she's doing really good. Two kind of update-y things that I've mentioned on the show before. I talked about how my car died a while ago, and then I got it charging up, and it seemed to be working fine again. Well, on Friday, I was going to go to my dentist appointment, and after that, I was going to go to the coffee shop and get a little bit of work done and do some stuff, like catching up on blog stuff, like photo diaries and whatnot. And as soon as I got to my car, I realized that it was dead again. My dad and I looked at it. We tried jumping it. This time when we jumped it, it didn't even keep the charge, for a second after the car was turned off. So you turn it off, and it was dead all over again. So that's a bummer. I called the guy. We're going to get it in for tomorrow. I'm just going to have to wait until Em comes home, jump it, take it in, wait all day tomorrow, and then do all of our usual rigmarole, and hopefully it'll be all done and ready to go so that we can pick it up. It's like I've said before, it's just one of those things that winds up taking a million more steps just because of the situation. Although in this case, since it's something that I need jumped to get over there, it'd probably be a fairly similar situation. Although I could walk over and pick it up if I was on my own. But I guess it's not that big of a deal. I did grocery shopping on Monday, so we're all set that way. We don't have any appointments until we leave on Saturday to go to Massachusetts. So we're in a pretty good spot that way. On the positive side, two things, actually. My wife just heard back from the camera place. We had shipped it out last week. They fixed it, and it's coming back. It was under warranty, so it didn't cost us anything. That's awesome. You hear all these horror stories about things happening, and we haven't gotten it back in hand yet, so something could happen. But for the most part, this was a fairly seamless operation once we got all the paperwork and sent it out. So, big ups to Canon for coming through and fixing, and hopefully this won't be a problem anymore. The other thing that we did this weekend when my parents were here was we went to Lowe's and got the right part to fix the drain under the sink. Now, it was a very slight leak, and I had a towel wrapped around it and a bowl underneath, so no more damage was being done, but of course we wanted to get it taken care of pretty quickly. And I had bought the wrong piece once again at Lowe's because I didn't actually take it off and go. I just kind of took some photos and thought I got the right thing. So we took all that stuff back and then got the right piece, and my dad, put it on in like 2 seconds, and that's fixed. But I'm going to keep an eye on it, of course, and I've still got the bowl under there just in case something else pops. But it's nice to have, those two things kind of out of the way. I still need to get a hold of the tile guy. We've been playing phone tag, but hopefully things will start kind of coming together. In a little bit of what's new with Lou news, there were 3 days last week where she took a nap within like a half hour time span every single day. It was between like 12 and 12:30. And that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Wednesday, the first day, we were hanging out in her bedroom. She wanted to go in there, which is good because I've also been wanting to kind of limit the TV time that she has a little bit. So every now and then she wants to go in her room, and I'm like, perfect. I grab my computer, I turn a little music on, and she plays with her toys. And at one point, I had put my laptop on her bed, and I was kind of typing like it was a little desk. And she walked over and she said, no, mine. And then she hopped in her own bed, wrapped the blanket around her and said, night-night, and went to sleep within a few minutes. I just kind of laid on the floor still doing my work and had the music still going. Because I think if she senses that you're trying to put her to sleep, she'll like kick it up into a couple more gears and not fall asleep. And so I just kind of watched this, and I didn't change anything, and it wound up happening, and I was pretty excited about that. And then Thursday, I had an interview at about 1 o'clock, and I wasn't sure how that was going to work out because, as I've said before, every time I'm on the phone with somebody, she thinks it's one of her grandparents, and she starts hollering and screaming and wanting to talk on the phone. Of course, when you hand her the phone, she doesn't say anything, but when I do these interviews, I have a microphone in my ear, so I need to keep the phone to my ear. I can't just hand her the phone, and even if she was silent, my thing's not going to record what they're saying, and then I need to transcribe it. So that wasn't an option. So at about good, like 11:30, we went into her room, maybe 12. We're kind of in there playing, hanging out, and I remembered the thing about the bed before, and so I thought I would try it again once it was getting like a little bit past 12, and I was like, I don't know, I need her down for a nap. So I put the computer on the bed, she came over, and it worked again, and I couldn't believe it. And then I was able to do my interview, no problem. She actually woke up at the very, very end of it. And this was amazing because she was kind of halfway down the hall and I turned around and the guy was still talking. I like just asked a follow-up question right before hanging up. And I gave her the shh sound, but silently. And she actually stopped in her tracks. She looked at me and she did shush motion back to me and then waited there. And so I quickly, you know, I was like, okay, great. And luckily it was good timing. I finished up the call, hung up. And then I looked back and she was still in that same spot. So maybe we're getting a little bit better about phone calls and interviews and that kind of thing. I try to tell her in advance when I'm going to have an interview. And I tell her it's not grandma or grandpa. It's nobody you know, but it's for work. And I need you to be quiet if you can while I talk to them. That would be great. And so that time it worked. Friday was a different story. She wanted some food. She was getting kind of angry. Again, it was around the same time, maybe a little bit later than the previous 2 days. And instead of going into her bed, she got upset and was crying. And so I held her. And within like 2 minutes, she had fallen asleep. Sometimes she just needs to be held so she'll pass out or just, you know, told that she can relax. Over the weekend, it's always different because, you know, we're driving around and grandparents are here and all bets are off. And then today, Tuesday, I was in the bedroom with her, and she was actually in her bed, and it really looked like she was about to sleep, and I didn't even do anything. I wasn't trying to push it or anything like that, and for whatever reason, she came out of the room. Oh, and I made the mistake of not turning the TV off in the living room, and she saw that Mickey was still on, and so she booked it out here and wound up watching Mickey and wound up not falling asleep until like 2:15, so that made the day a little bit longer. It's funny, her falling asleep so much earlier seems to really stretch the day off, and it's completely throwing off like my internal mental clock of like how much time I still have left in a day to do things. I always do my morning spin-off online writing in the morning. There's 3 posts that I do every day. I look through the internet, I pitch them to the editor, he says which ones he wants, I write them up, find images and videos if we need them, and then that goes up, and that's, you know, that's usually done by 10:30, 11. I try to finish by 10, but it almost never happens. And then after that, I kind of do maybe a little bit of personal blogging that kind of cleanses the palate, and then I get back into my other work. It really depends on how much stuff I have to do, though. Like on Fridays, it's work until I'm done. And then I just kind of like to take the rest of the day off unless something comes up. But other days when there's different things I can do or things around the house, like, you know, I do them as I can, and depending on when she naps, there's certain things I just can't do when she's awake, like make phone calls. So with her being asleep earlier, it not only makes the day feel longer because she's asleep earlier, and it's also just kind of throwing things off. Usually around noon is when I would do dishes or things like that, but since she's asleep and there's, like I said, only certain things I can do when she's asleep, things just are getting kind of shifted around. And then she's awake longer during the day, which, I mean, it's working out fine. It's just an adjustment. And like I said, today was completely different, and the weekend was completely different from those 3 days last week. So I don't know if it's a new pattern. I don't know what's happening. Today, when she finally fell asleep, she was getting really upset. She wanted me to read her this Duffy book over and over again. And I knew that if I just kind of held her, she would go down, but she didn't want that. I finally said, do you want to go in your room? No. Do you want to cuddle here on the blue chair? No. Do you want to go in the bedroom, mommy and daddy's room? She said, yes. So I went in there, and she wanted the Duffy book again. I said, no, not the Duffy book again. And then I offered to read her Wizard of Oz. And by the time I was done with the first chapter, which is like 3 or 4 pages, she was asleep. So she's still in there now. I don't know how long she'll nap, but I think we both need this time because it gives me the ability to not have to worry about her so actively. I mean, you always worry about your kid, but, you know, when she's awake, I've got to make sure she's got enough water, and if she needs food, I get it for her, and if she needs a new diaper, it's all these like little things that you've got to like remind yourself to think about or just think about automatically. But once she's sleeping, you can just kind of focus on whatever you need to take care of, like, you know, making phone calls, doing podcasts, I mean, things that, you know, you just can't do otherwise. So that's been interesting. I don't know how long that'll last or if it'll last or even if it's a pattern. I really don't know, but we'll see. As with most things, pattern-wise when it comes to her. I am cautiously optimistic because patterns seem to be very difficult to come by when it comes to two-year-olds. I, of course, already talked about my parents coming for a visit. And leading up to that, my wife and I kept saying to Lucy, okay, Grandma and Grandpa are coming for a visit. And then next week, we're going to see Grammy and Papa at the beach. And so throughout the week, she was really remembering that. And she, so she was going, Grandma and Grandpa today? I was like, no, not today, but soon. And then she kept asking about it. She finally kind of got it down this weekend. Okay, cool. And then I told her that we were going to watch football. And she got really excited. At one point during like Thursday or Friday, she turned around out of nowhere and goes, gonna watch football with Grandpa on Friday. And it was so cute. She remembers doing touchdown and all that stuff from when we were watching football last year. And so it's cool to see kind of her memory really, really developing and doing a lot of work inside her little brain. And then now that, you know, we're past the Grandma and Grandpa visit, now she's saying, Grammy and Papa at the beach. It's like, yep. Today? No, not today. A couple days. So she doesn't really have a concept of time, but it's neat to see her kind of not only get excited about things, but also just kind of understanding that there's a process and a timeline that these things go on, and she seems to be kind of understanding what we're telling her, which is great. All right, like last week, I am going to bring up something I read online. I think that went pretty well. It gave some interesting content to the show, and while it didn't actually kick off any discussion on the comment threads, maybe this one will, or maybe it will down the line at some point. I read an interesting article that a friend of mine posted on Twitter that I happened to see, and I finally read, even though it was posted on July 31st, so I'm pretty behind on this one. It's a regular column on the New York Times website called Motherlode, Adventures in Parenting by Catherine Newman. And this article is called I Do Not Want My Daughter to Be Nice. If you want to read the whole thing, you can check it out through the link on poppapa.com. I'll have it in the show notes, just like last week, if you want to check it out yourself. Now, she's got a 10-year-old daughter, and kind of the point of this article is that she's not overly nice. Now, that doesn't mean she's necessarily unpleasant to everybody, but she doesn't kind of waste niceness. And so to me, initially, when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, you know, what's the problem with being nice? I feel like I'm a nice person. And like I've said in past episodes, I do feel like we are kind of all in this together to various extents. And it's just better to be a nice person than a sour person. But she has an interesting point that is completely different from where I come from. Now, I'm kind of developing my social awareness, I guess you could say, lately. I've been really thinking a lot about things and kind of how we're made up and the things we do and why we do them. And while there's obvious differences between men and women on biological scales and chemical scales, I think that a lot of what goes into our society's concept of what a man should be and what a woman should be are mostly societally driven. And by that I mean that I don't believe that there are necessarily ways of acting that are connected with being male and female. I believe that there are ways of acting that have been labeled male or female because they either helped society out in the past or were perceived to help society out in the past or were just thought of as being more appropriate or palatable by whoever was in charge. By that I mean, a sensitive man isn't necessarily being womanly. He's just sensitive. Like, sensitive is a characteristic of humanity. It's not necessarily a characteristic of being a woman that a man somehow takes on. On the opposite hand, toughness or physicality isn't necessarily a male trait that some women take on. They're just different traits that different people have or develop. You know, I don't know how or why people necessarily are the way they are. This is just kind of where I'm coming at life from. And so kind of the point of what Catherine Newman is saying in this article is that women are kind of taught to be nice no matter what. Here's what she has to say at one point in the article. I am a radical card-carrying feminist, and still I put out smiles indiscriminately, hoping to please not only friends and family, but also my son's orthodontist, the barista who rolls his eyes while I fumble apologetically through my wallet, and the ex-boyfriend who cheated on me. If I had all that energy back, all the hours and neurochemicals and facial musculature I have expended in my wanton pursuit of likeness, I could propel myself to Mars and back, or at the very least write the book Mars and Back, Gendered Constraints and Wasted Smiling. But it is not one thing or another, of course. My mostly pleasant way might get me more freelance work, and friendliness tends to put people at ease, loved ones, neighbors, waitresses, which is a good thing. Plus, smiling probably makes me feel happier, according to all those studies about self-fulfilling emotional prophecies. I know that our sweet-hearted son, who is 13, has always had the experience of niceness being its own reward. What can I do to help? He asks. Please take mine, he insists, and smiles, and everyone says, oh, aren't you nice, and what a lovely young man. Or sometimes, because he kind of looks like a girl, what a lovely young lady. But if I can speak frankly here, you really don't worry about boys being too nice, do you? He still has the power and privilege of masculinity on his side, so as far as I'm concerned, the nicer the better. Birdie, her daughter, is polite in a can-you-please-help-me-find-my-rain-boots and thank-you-I-love-another-deviled-egg kind of way. But when strangers talk to her, she is like, whatever. She looks away, scowling. She does not smile or engage. I bite my tongue so that I won't hiss at her to be nice. I tell you this confessionally. Because do I think it is a good idea for girls to engage with zealously leering men, like the creepy guy in the hardware store who is telling her how pretty she is? I do not. Say thank you to the nice man who woof whistled. Smile at the frat boy who's date raping you. I want my daughter to be tough, to say no, to waste exactly zero of her God-given energy on the sexual, emotional, and psychological demands of lame men, of lame anybody's. I don't want her to accommodate and please. I don't want her to wear her good nature like a gemstone, her body like an ornament. And it goes on from there, and like I said, you can check it out. She describes her daughter as tender, fierce, passionate kind of person who can stroke our pussycat with gentle fingers while she growls at you, her eyebrows a menacing shelf about bedtime and her plans to avoid it. And it's interesting, like I said, I don't know what it's like to be a female who's been conditioned to be nice. I just kind of developed niceness. I'm sure my parents encouraged it. There was quite a while in high school where I probably wasn't nice. I like to put on more of an outwardly hard shell, especially if I was like alone in public, that kind of thing. But, you know, over the years, I've decided it's just easier to be nice. There's also that aspect of not wanting your kid, your daughter, to be expected to be nice because she's a female. You don't want her to have to put on a happy face when negative things are happening to her. I don't want that to happen with my kid at all. And in that case, I completely agree with her in this article about not wanting your kid to be nice. I would actually maybe edit it personally to make it too nice. I do think there are degrees of this, and it sounds like, you know, the way she described her daughter, that she's nice, but she's not too nice. And I mean, every kid gets mad and angry and all that kind of stuff. And I do think we need to be pleasant to one another, assuming that the other person is being generally pleasant back to you. I don't believe in returning bad behavior with kindness as kind of a general rule. When it's family or friends or, you know, obviously more tricky situations, you got to do different things to take care of situations. But for the most part, I really agree with this. I do think it's something that I'm trying to be very sensitive to as the primary caregiver because, you know, I'm a man and I'm teaching our daughter kind of how to be a person. And obviously she's going to pick up on a lot of the things that I do and say, whether I'm meaning to convey them to her or not. And she's going to do the same thing with my wife and our friends and our family. And I think you just kind of watch people and you figure out how to live life mixed with whatever kind of chemical balances are going on in your head. You know, I'm a total nature and nurture guy. I don't think it's one or the other. So I try to be very straight with my kid. Like, I was a little concerned about the whole princess thing. You know, the kind of stereotype quick judgment of all the Disney princesses is that they are women waiting for men to come rescue them. Now, when you really watch them, sure, some of the older ones are definitely like that, but there's more agency later on. And yet the goal at the end is usually a marriage. Now, I mean, I'm married and my wife is married and I think my wife is a feminist and it's not a bad thing in and of itself, but I get kind of the implications that people are worried about. And at the same time, I had to ask myself, am I against the princess thing because of that? Or because maybe I'm not as comfortable with it. I don't understand it as well. And so I kind of, you know, I let her discover what she wanted to. And she happens to like princesses. You know what? She also likes football. She loves throwing the football around and watching football with me. And I mean, I've actually got pictures of her at times, I think, with literally wearing a crown, a princess crown, and holding a football. So I think what's important is to help foster whatever your kid kind of gets into, assuming you deem it healthy and appropriate. So that's kind of what I'm doing in a broad sense. And of course, that also goes into how she reacts with other people. At this point, she's a very outgoing person. She wants to play with all the other kids on the playground. She loves running around with her grandparents when they visit. She loves saying hi to people in the grocery store now. And at some point, I and my wife are going to have the difficult job of explaining to her that not every person in the world is a nice person that needs to be talked to. Sometimes there are people, like Newman said in the article, who are leering or just being inappropriate. And at that point, you've got to teach your kid how to get out of that kind of situation. And not do it in a polite way, just get out of the situation. You do not need to put up with that kind of behavior or treatment from anybody. And that is a paramount rule for anybody, I think. So that just kind of got me thinking. I think it's good to kind of talk about these things on the podcast, get the ideas out there. I've been doing this for almost 2.5 years at this point, a couple months shy, and obviously I have a long way to go, and I have no idea what the future is going to hold, but these are just kind of some of the things that have popped into my head that I'm kind of thinking about on a daily basis, and I figured it would be cool to get them out to you guys and see what your thoughts are. Feel free, please, 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 I implore you to head over to poppapa.com and leave a couple comments in the show notes for this episode. I will reply, I promise, and maybe we can get a discussion going. I'm curious to see what other opinions are, or if you have other links or articles that I can read, because like I said, I don't necessarily read a lot of parenting blogs or sites or articles. I'm starting to make a list of columnists and bloggers and websites that I do want to check out. But if you have any suggestions, please drop me a line. Or if you write for one of these places, also drop me a line. I'd be curious to kind of get a dialogue going. All right, I think we've had a pretty good show so far. We're going to move into the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. This is a device that I've had the entire time we've had our daughter, even going a year or two before that. And it's actually not, labeled as a parenting device. But it's one of the things that really helped save my butt in the early days, and even now I can use it in a parenting context. Although it's generally for work purposes, and that is the Apple Magic Pad. Now, this is basically an external trackpad if you have a Mac or an Apple computer. I have an Apple MacBook. I've been an Apple fan for a while, so I keep getting them, even though there have definitely been some problems in the past, although my current computer is doing fantastic. Now, basically what this is an external trackpad that you can wirelessly connect to your computer and you can use wherever. Depending on how old your laptop is, you may or may not be familiar with all the crazy different, finger-touch combinations that you can do to make your computer do different things. One finger moves the mouse around, two fingers scrolls, three fingers does something else, and it also depends on which ways you move your mouse. Since I've got an older MacBook, my actual trackpad doesn't do those things, but this trackpad does. The reason I think that this is a good parenting tool is because if you're like me and part of your job revolves around kind of monitoring different websites or blogs on the internet, you can actually set your computer up, on your desk or your table or whatever, and you can lean back and hold the trackpad on your lap or on a pillow or next to you or whatever, and still kind of scroll through things. You can also use it to zoom in and out on a website. So if you're kind of leaning back and maybe you can't read something, you kind of pinch two fingers together and then pull them apart. Or is it the other way? Well, whatever. You can zoom in and out and kind of really manipulate your screen in ways that allow you to kind of read from a different angle or perspective. And this is good as a parent because when I was taking care of Lucy and she was really young, you know, I still had to get all my stuff done, but she wanted to be held a lot. And so what I could do is hold her in my left arm and then kind of balance the trackpad on my leg and, you know, still get some of my stuff done. I mean, it would also be good if you've got a napping kid, you could go through your stuff, your email, that kind of thing. You can't type on it, obviously, but if you had a wireless keyboard or even a external keyboard, you could get more things done. So I just think it's one of those little things that you don't even realize might help you out as a parent down the road, but the Apple Magic Pad is definitely on my list of unconventional work-at-home parent things that get the Pop Papa seal of approval. For the Pop Papa of the week this week, I'm going a little bit odd, I must say, but it is a character from a show that I have grown to love. I talked about The League a little bit last week, and it's one of these shows that, even though it's majorly about people being fairly mean to one another by joking around and doing a hobby I don't know if I'll ever understand in fantasy football, I get such a kick out of watching that show and just kind of laughing hard. I've watched the first three seasons of that show three times each, once with my wife. And then I gave the entire series a rewatch recently, too. The recipient of the Pop Pop of the Week this time is Kevin MacArthur on the show, played by Steve Ranazzisi. Now, of the two dads on the show, he's the nicer one. Nick Kroll's Ruxin is the other one, and he's just kind of a not good person. But Kevin is a nicer guy. He's just trying to live his life, do his job, and spend some time with his family, but also have that time with his friends to play fantasy football, have a few beers. And while, again, he's not the nicest guy in the world to his friends, God, he's funny. And the thing about that show is that I have realized that after a while, I just start thinking like those guys having conversations. And I tend to put myself in his voice, which is probably weird and something that needs to be analyzed psychologically. But he's probably my favorite character on the show. I think he's comparably a good dad, not the kind of dad I want to be. I just like him. He's fun. And I think it's cool when you can find someone on TV that you can kind of relate to, even though you're not maybe super proud to relate to them, if that makes sense. The fourth season hit Netflix today. I am waiting to watch it with my wife, so it'll be a little bit before we can really nail the rest of that season down. And then the new season starts on FXX tomorrow. I'm actually checking right now to see if we even have that channel. I have no idea. And the problem with it being on Wednesdays at 10 is that it puts it directly in opposition to MTV's The Challenge, which I am addicted to and have been for years. So we'll see how that goes. We might just... Daddy. Hey, bug. Can you say hi to the podcast people?
Okay, Dad.
Can you say hi? Can you say podcast?
Podcast.
Good job. Can you say hello?
They can't see you.
Okay, Daddy's going to wrap up, okay?
Okay, Dad.
Okay, cool. One more thing I want to say before signing off is that since we are going to be gone the weekend into next week, I'm not sure exactly what format the show will be in or when it'll go up. I'm probably not going to take the full rig, although I'll have my computer, but I'm probably not going to take this microphone. I might just take my tiny portable recorder, so the show won't sound quite as good, but I should be able to knock it out during the week at some point and then hopefully get it up. I will keep you posted on Twitter. I'm at Papadietsch. That's PopPadietsch. You can also probably see some pictures that I take throughout the weekend and throughout the week. You can also check out United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. That's where I write about music, movies, television, comic books, that kind of thing. Or head on over to Monkeying Around the Kitchen. Everything's spelled the same, no spaces.
Right there.
Kitchen's right there. That's where I write about food and various dishes that we've had out and about. Yep. Mommy's at work. Do you want to come say bye-bye? She waved bye-bye. So, all right, gang. Have a good week. I'll talk to you later.